welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead and start off with a passage of Scripture found in Genesis about probably one of my favorite Old Testament Bible characters. The Bible talks about, just starting with Genesis chapter 37, verse 2, Joseph. It says, Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report to them to his father, poor report of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. We'll kind of go on, just kind of jumps a little bit further ahead in the story. Joseph had to kind of go and find his brothers. Another segment said, so he said, if I'm seeking my brothers, please tell me where they are feeding their flocks. And the man said, they have departed from here, for I heard them say, let's go to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. Now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. And they said to one another, look, this dreamer is coming. All right. We kind of see first off, you know, poor Joseph, you know, in the sense that his father showed a favoritism toward him that he really should not have, in the sense that it really provoked, obviously, his other siblings against him. And we know that God, our Father, is not a respecter of persons, right? And so we don't have to wonder or worry. I think sometimes people think, you know, God just really loves her. You know, with God the Father, he is no respecter of persons. In fact, he's willing that none should perish. When Jesus died on that cross, he died equally for all our sins. Love, favor, praise God. But this kind of put Joseph in a tough spot when the Father was favoring him, gave him the coat. It really caused the resentment, not toward the Father, but toward Joseph. So the sibling who perceived to be getting the extra favor was the one who was resented. All right, and as it went on, it said Joseph, this Joseph guy was a dreamer. He had a dream, and I, you know what they said here in verse 19, as he was coming, he said, said to one another, look, this dreamer is coming. This dreamer is coming. You know, Joseph was a dreamer, and as we look in the book of Genesis, God very specifically gave him dreams that were God dreams that he put in his heart. No doubt about it. And somebody once said, quoted, you know what, I'm trying my message on my tablet this morning for the first time, but I notice it turns off on me. So if you see me kind of swiping it, that's what I'm doing, and I'm bringing it back up. Live and learn here. All right, praise God. There was a guy who said, his name was Oscar Wilde. He says, society often forgives the criminal. It never forgives the dreamer. All right. Sometimes when people dream, or they have dreams, and you know you have dreams, and you begin to see things, especially that might be out above your finances or above your situation, it's bigger than your present reality. You know, it's something big. It's a dream. And God will put those dreams in our hearts. And what I so love about Joseph is, he was a dreamer, but the cool thing about Joseph is you look at his life. You know, sometimes you think of a dreamer as just somebody who dreams and that's it. But Joseph was a dreamer, and you see a life that backed up. And he was a man who knew how to walk out the dreams that God put on the inside of him. And so I just want to get and delve right into the message this morning. It's simply entitled, Joseph the Dreamer. All right? Have you ever been called a dreamer? Have you ever been thought of as a dreamer? Kind of somebody who's just out there and you're kind of seeing some things, you know, but where, you know, get back in the real world. Well, praise God. We do live in the real world. God gives us the wisdom and the ability and all that we need to function in the real world. But There is something he'll put in our heart that goes out ahead of where we are right now. He'll put dreams in there. And Joseph was a dreamer. And we're just going to look at his life simply this morning to see how the dreamer, Joseph, walked out the dreams that God put in his heart. So as we look at Joseph the dreamer, the first thing that we want to see about Joseph is that Joseph could see the dream. There was something he saw in his dream. Something, not with these natural eyes, but something with the eyes on the inside of him that captured him. He saw something. And so let's go back and take a look at what those dreams were. It says, now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. And he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brothers said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I've dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. You know, Joseph was a dreamer, but he had some dreams. He saw some things very specifically in his heart. And when I read these stories about Joseph's dreams, it kind of provokes me, you know, to think, what is my dream? What is it that I'm seeing? What is it that's motivating me? What is that thing that I see in my spirit and my heart that God has put in me, those God dreams? You know, Pastor Paul was here a few weeks ago, for those of you who might not have been here, and he preached a sermon on what you see is what you get. What you see is what you get, good or bad. What you see is what you get. When you begin to focus on it and think about it, and you just begin to draw, you know, what you're seeing. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What you see is what you get. And again, it begins to prompt the question, what are we seeing? And we see Joseph having his dream, but all of us have had those moments where we see something. You know, maybe you could be painting a picture. We see artists all over Door County this time of year with their canvas out in front of the beautiful water. They see something with their eye and they begin to capture it. And as you are beginning to do things in your life, it can be very simple. You might be organizing a room. I'm wondering, how am I going to manage this thing? And all of a sudden, you see it. And then when you begin to see it, you do it. And you're just doing what you see. You see something. It could be writing a song. Could be maybe a business plan. You're trying to figure out, how am I going to make this thing run? How am I going to make it go? And you can get a picture of how to do this thing. Could be a landscaping project, an athletic goal, something you want to accomplish. It might be healing. It might be freedom from an addiction or something. The dream of just seeing yourself totally free from that thing, foreign. Praise God to be able to go on, or maybe for somebody else. God will put dreams in your heart that are just motivating and inspiring. I remember just driving to work one day and just thinking about my friend, lifelong friend, known him all my life. Yes, all my life. And he was at work. We worked together at Hardee's, and my heart just went out for him because I knew he didn't really know the Lord. And all of a sudden, I'm just driving to work, and there's a song that comes on the radio. I think it was Sweet Adoration, kind of an oldies worship song for those of you who don't know. Sweet Adoration flows from your children for the Divine One who reigns in our heart. Just, you know, it's just a beautiful, beautiful song. And all of a sudden, as I'm driving to work and my heart's going out for him, all of a sudden, I see a picture in my mind's eye of him lifting his hands in worship, worshiping God, you know, worshiping God in the church I was going to at the time. And it was amazing because that was, I believe it was May, and by the end of June, the Lord brought it to pass. And I was able to minister to him, lead him to the Lord, and I was standing there in the church and watching him over there with tears in his eyes, hands lifted high, singing, I exalt thee. And all of a sudden, the Lord just prompted my heart, and that's what I saw. That's what I saw in my spirit, my inner man. And when God gives you a picture of something, it's like, I remember that picture, it just motivated me to want to love on him and to pray for him and to work with the Holy Spirit. No one comes to the Father except the Spirit draws him. But to work with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, use me however I can to draw him to your grace and to see that come to pass. God will give you things that will absolutely will bless you and will motivate you to begin to walk out the dreams that he puts in your heart. But he's going to start by showing you stuff. Ephesians 2:10 puts it this way. It says, "For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live." Now, if you know much about this passage of Scripture, you'll notice the two verses behind it will say, we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, but by grace. It's the gift of God, lest anyone should boast. We know that we're saved by grace through faith, not of works. Yes, works are not what save us. But it goes on to say, we are his workmanship, created for good works, which you ordained us to walk in. So you could say it this way, we're not saved by good works, but we are saved for good works that he's ordained us to walk in. Those good works that he's ordained us to walk in are those, like they're like seeds of the dreams that he places on the inside of us. God has placed dreams on the inside of every one of us. Any one of us who've been saved by grace have been recreated in Christ for good works, which he predestined. You know, God didn't think up stuff for Joseph as he was going along. There was destiny in the dreams that he had. There's destiny in the dreams you have. He goes on to say here, Philippians, I love to put these scriptures together because they're kind of companion scriptures. Philippians 2:13 says, "Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight." That's really an amazing thing. So God at first puts the works in you. You could put it this way. God put the works in you. And according to Philippians, God is at work in you. All right? So he puts those works in you, and then he effectually works in you, energizing and creating. You know, you think, man, I just have a desire for this. And all of a sudden, I want to do this. Those aspirations, God's God working in you to will and to do. Sometimes people can mistakenly feel like, because it's such a desire and something they want, obviously it's in line with the Word of God. I'm not talking about something that's fleshly or, you know, that's corrupting or something like that. But just a vocation, an occupation, a desire, that is God working in you to will and to do. And you think, wow, that's me. Yeah, that's you. That's God showing you what he created you to be. It's like, you know, in the world we have the expression finding yourself. I got to find myself. Well, when you're in Christ, you find yourself in him. And when you get that sense and that desire, this is what I really sense. It could be business. It could be ministry. It could be just, you know, whatever the Lord has put on your heart. But you begin to find that is God working in me to will and to do. And these are really the seeds to the dreams. When you begin to realize this, it gives you permission to dream. Say, okay, Lord, here I am. You know, what is it that you want me to do with these few years that I got down here? I'm very glad I'm saved by grace. I know where I'm going. But I'm down here for a reason. Good works you've ordained me to walk in. Lord, show me what those good works are. And as you begin to do that, he's going to begin to work in you. And what I just say a lot of times to people when they're trying to discover what that is, pay attention to the things you have patience for. Things you have a lot of patience for that you'll just stick with, that's a good indicator that there's probably something in you. Other people look at it and go, wow, that looks like a lot of work. But for you, it's a work in progress. That kind of indicates. He gives you energizing and creating in you the power and the desire. That desire is that stick-to-itiveness. You think about Thomas Edison, the great inventor, and all the efforts he had to make that light bulb work. If you guys know the story, you know about Thomas Edison. I mean, how many times did he go and trial and error until he finally got it to work? and burn. A lot of people were critical of him. Oh, it's not going to happen. But he stuck with it and stuck with it and stuck, and he got it. He saw something that gave him the tenacity, that gave him the drive, praise God, to stick with it until he got it. I like it. He said, genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. But what allows you that 99% perspiration? Because you see, that 1%, you see something. You see something. God will show you something. And when you see something, you're not all caught up in all the other natural stuff, because you see something and you know it's a God thing. So it's a dream. It's a dream beyond your resources. You see it. And you're going to walk it out step by step by step. But Joseph saw something. God is going to show you. He's put things in you. He's working the desire in you. And this is something we can do in the meantime. Great prayer from the Apostle Paul. He says, I don't cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding. These are the eyes on the inside. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling. That's just the good prayer for all of us to pray. Father God, I could come before, and this is, you pray this over and over, pray this every day. Father God, I just pray, Lord, the eyes of my, that spirit of wisdom and revelation, Lord, that the eyes of my understanding will be enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of my calling, Lord. Unveil to me those good works you put in me before the foundation of the world. Lord, my heart is to know them, to walk in them. I want to see something. Father, show me something. I want to see it. And again, you begin to see something, and all of a sudden, the passion, the drive, the energy, it's right there, just built into whatever it is you're seeing. I remember kind of one of the things that I thought about that as far as an illustration was, back in the 70s, we watched going to this movie. It was called Close Encounters of the Third Kind. If any of you guys saw that back way back then, but this guy, you know, and I won't go into the whole plot of it, but anyway, he just saw something in his mind's eye of this mountain. And he saw it, then he saw it on TV, and it was what he was thinking in his mind. And all of a sudden, he just goes crazy in his kitchen and begins getting dirt and plants and everything and all that. And on his kitchen table, he just builds this huge mound, this great big mountain. But he, when you see him, he's just like, he's just got this passion, this energy that is just causing him. He's got something he sees that he needs to make to release it. And there's something about a dream that God gives you. It'll give you that energy, it'll give you focus, and it'll give you patience, praise God, to stick with it until you got it. And that's, how do I know what that is? Well, pay attention to the things you have patience for. Pay attention to those desires that God is putting on the inside of you. And then also, pray. Say, Lord, show me, unveil. Let the eyes of my understanding see. May it further come into focus. That word revelation literally means to unveil. You know, we got those statues outside of Lambeau Field, you know, of the greats. And there was a point where there's an unveiling. You know, when the drop cloth is over it, you can kind of see the form, but when the drop cloth comes off, you see clearly what it is. And sometimes on the inside of you, you might think, I got a form, but it's like there's a drop cloth on it. Lord, take it off and help me to see clearly what it is that you want me to do. You know, God loves us to seek him. You know, Jesus said, ask, seek, knock. There is a part we play in finding God's will for our life. There is an asking, a seeking, a knocking. You might even get something and forgot you even asked sometimes. And the Lord will remind you, yeah, you asked, remember? But he's ask, seek. We just simply, Lord, show me. That's why these simple prayers are in the New Testament for us to read and to speak and to pray. So, Joseph the dreamer. Joseph saw something as he dreamed. Also, once you see something, there is also, as you walk out this dream, as Joseph walked out this dream, there is going to be a holding on to that dream. When God begins to reveal those good works he's ordained you to walk in before the foundation of the world, you got to realize there's not just one kingdom on this earth. Jesus prayed, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven for a reason. It's not automatically done on earth as it is in heaven. There's another kingdom down here. In fact, the Bible puts it this way. When somebody gets born again, they're translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. That's what happens on the inside when you surrender and receive Christ. The Bible says, you were once by nature a child of wrath. But now you are by nature a new creation in Christ Jesus. And the old has passed away, and behold, all has become new. There was an old kingdom of darkness that was on the inside of you. Now there's a new kingdom of light on the inside of you. Two kingdoms in this world. Well, those dreams that God has for you are kingdom of God dreams. And there's another kingdom down here that doesn't want you walking in those good works that God's ordained you to walk in. Didn't want Jesus to walk in those good works that he was ordained to walk in for all of our sakes. And he doesn't want you walking in them either. And so you realize that once you get the dream and you're energized for the dream, yeah, there's going to be some distractions. There's going to be an occasion to really have to purpose to hold on to that dream. So let's take another look at Joseph here and how he did that, how he held on to the dream. Of course, Joseph had that dream, but let's just say this up front. It was 13 years from the time Joseph had that dream to the time it came to pass. 13 years. All right? And in the meantime, this is what happened. You know, as Joseph came, his brothers were jealous of him. You know, this is the story that we had just read. Oh, here comes the dreamer, they said. Well, this is what happened after they said, here comes the dreamer. Then they took him, Joseph, and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And then they sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices, balm, and myrrh, on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, what profit is there if we will kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother of our flesh. And his brothers listened. So they didn't want to have to live with a guilty conscience of killing their brother, so let's make some money off him. So they're going to sell him. You know, it's a nice consolation there for Joseph. So he survives. But this is what Joseph had to deal with. He had to deal with some sibling issues that absolutely resented him. And he had some choices to make. And, you know, we don't see all the behind the scenes of Joseph's personal devotion to God. But I'll tell you, the fruit of it comes out in the story that we read here. So here's a guy who is sold. But he must have done something in his heart. He must have kept his heart right, because we see this. As he's sold into slavery, then these slave traders come along and says, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt by those slave traders. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. So, in other words, Potiphar bought him from these slave traders. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house and all that he had put under his authority. Wow, isn't that an amazing testimony? When an unbeliever looks at a believer and says the Lord is with him because he's prospering. Prosperity. Now, this obviously doesn't mean that Joseph was a gazillionaire or wasn't looking at his bank account, but he was looking at something about Joseph. What he did was successful. He had wisdom. He had understanding. Obviously, Joseph was still seeing things. We don't get the full behind-the-scenes story, but Joseph is working with God, and God is giving him wisdom and favor. He's showing Joseph what to do, how to do it, and wow. And an unbeliever looks at his life and says, wow, the Lord God is with this man. You know, people can know that about you too, whether they'll ever admit it or not or say it in those terms or not. Just something good when I'm around that person. It just seems like things starting to go right, and it's like, it's what we call favor. And Joseph had that. This tells me a lot. Just got sold into slavery from his brothers, but he had favor with the Lord. He was keeping his heart right. Could have been very tempted right here to get bitter. You know, Lord, you put those dreams in my heart, and look what it got me. Got me into slavery. Got me sold into slavery. But he didn't do that. He had favor with the Lord. He was walking with the Lord, kept his heart clear and free from bitterness. Praise God and walking with his God. It's not over yet. Now, if you were to look at it, where's the dreamer? Well, the dreamer is sold into slavery. But things are going well for him. So he made him oversee over all of his house. All right, praise God. So it pays to serve the Lord after all, right? Well, later on in the story, we find out that Potiphar's wife was attracted to Joseph and was making repeated advances toward him, and Joseph refused all those advances, and one day he just literally ran away from her, but she got him by the coat, and so she had some evidence in her hand that she falsely accused Joseph of trying to, you know, to be with her. So when she spoke, this is Potiphar's wife, she spoke to him with words, like these, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us," talking about Joseph, "came in to me to mock me. So it happened as I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled outside. So it was when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, 'Your servant did to me after this manner,' that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison." Wow. He is serving his master faithfully, and he gets set up, he gets framed by his wife. Surely, Joseph has got cause to stick his fist in the face of God and say, "Why, God, surely, after this, been faithful to you, I kept the bitterness out of my heart toward my siblings, kept my spirit right, and now this happens to me." You know, when you look at that first test that he had to pass with his siblings, you know, it's a test of your love walk, you know, forgiveness and grace. This is kind of a test of the enemy. The Bible says Satan goes about as a roaring lion. What is he? He's the accuser of the brethren. He's always looking to try to set you up and frame you and make you look bad, things coming across. Well, Joseph had another test to pass. This time it wasn't his siblings. It was somebody else, just somebody in his life who obviously the enemy, she was working with the enemy, and it turned out to be a frame job. And Joseph has to go, "Wow, now here I am." He's in prison. In prison after having, you know, being successful in his house, doing what the Lord told me to do. And he even did what the Lord told him to do. He fled youthful lusts. He didn't give in to the advances. And where does he end up? He ends up in prison. Now this is talking about a guy, Joseph the dreamer, and what he went through to see his dreams fulfilled. God puts a lot of dreams in people, and you're going to have to walk through these tests. You're going to walk through a lot of these different love walk tests, forgiveness tests, demonic accusation tests. And you go, "Oh, I know it's the enemy." And you know, have you ever had that? You know, the enemy sows strife in people's hearts, and all of a sudden they're looking at you different, and they, you know, it's all of a sudden, no matter what you do, you're wrong. And even if you try to bring up, you know, the enemy, "Oh, using the devil as a cop-out." Yeah. So, you know, you can't even really, all you can do is just pray. Say, "Okay, Lord, praise God. I'm going to keep my heart right. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. Praise God." You know, if you're walking with God, you walk in the Spirit, you're going to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. That's how you can tell people who are walking with God. And that's how you can tell if you're walking with God. Praise God. You're going to bear the fruit of the Spirit when you're really walking in the Spirit. It's not just your theology being more correct than everybody else's and being, no, it's walking with God. And Joseph kept his heart right, kept walking with God. This didn't shut down his devotion time. He probably, again, had some "why God" questions here. Kept going. What are we talking about? Holding on to the dream. Okay, well, surely, let's see what happens now. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison, whatever they did there, and it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority because the Lord, in other words, he just totally trusted him because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Here we go again. He's in jail, but he just keeps his heart right with God. He's not trying to reconcile anything. He's not trying to figure anything out. I'm just doing one thing. I'm keeping my heart right with God. That's my safe place. As long as I keep my heart right with him, he's my shield. He's going to help me. And he just maintained the glow. He maintained the favor. He maintained the fellowship to the point where people could see this man was operating in a wisdom, in a grace, in a peace. And it just brought favor. It just brought favor to him. Now he raises to be the head of the jail. He's in the process of fulfilling the dream that God had put in his heart. Wow. Amazing spirit. So now you think, surely, by this point, it's going to happen for Joseph. I mean, there's no way it could not happen. Well, as time goes on, the cupbearer and the bread, I forgot what it was here. Now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday. Joseph had interpreted dreams here to the chief butler and to the baker. That's what it is. The butler and the baker. And he told, you know, the butler, hey, you're going to be restored. He told the baker, you're going to be hanged because the Lord, you know, you're not going to be found out that you did wrong. Because these guys were both in jail, and they had dreams, and Joseph interpreted them for them. And so, and he basically prophesied what was going to happen, okay? And so it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all of his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. So the Pharaoh's coming to the jail to let him know what his decision is about their fate. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in the Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. All right? Now Joseph, when he had interpreted the dream, he said, you know, chief butler, you're going to be restored. When you're restored, please remember me. You know, remember me. You know, that was his simple request. And it said on purpose that the butler forgot him. He forgot him. Now, that's pretty amazing. It's, again, 13 years. It is, we know Pharaoh's going to have a dream, but that dream that Pharaoh's going to have is going to take place 2 years after this event. 2 years after this event. You know, Joseph is finding something out. It's not the butler who's going to promote him. God is going to promote him. We can kind of be looking for things and people and angles, and how is this thing going to happen? How is it going to happen? I could see that. And Joseph saying, you know, don't forget me. Ha ha. Maybe thinking. But ultimately, he forgot him. No favor, nothing that came as a result of that. There was no, you know, he wasn't exonerated or anything like that. Forgotten. Sitting there in jail, being a good prisoner, favor, but yet right there, he's sitting there, forgotten. Again, these are some opportunities that Joseph could have had to say, okay, Lord, this dream that you've put in my heart, where is it? How is it going to come to pass? So Joseph had to make some decisions in his heart that he was going to hold on to that dream, right? He had to hold on to it in the pit. He had to hold on to it as a slave, as he was falsely accused, in the jail, as he was forgotten about. When it comes to these kind of obstacles in your life as you're walking out the dream, you got to come to the conclusion early on that man's judgment and God's judgment is very different. It's not how man judges you down here that matters. It isn't. And ultimately, you see in your heart, when you're holding on to that dream, it's how God sees me. And I don't mean that kind of in a floaty, eerie, theoretical. It's really true. It's how God sees you. God is for you. He knows that you're still growing. He knows you're not perfect in walking out every little thing in life, that you still struggle with the weights and the sins that so easily beset you. We all still do, but he's still for you. He's with you. He loves you, and he sees you. And he sees things in you. There's a few scriptures I like. I just want to bring out what Jesus said. Jesus healed somebody and got in trouble for it, right? Remember that? Healed somebody on the Sabbath day, got in trouble for it. He put it this way. Jesus answered and said to them, I did one work and you all marvel. Moses, therefore, gave you circumcision. Not that it is from Moses, but from the fathers. And you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry with me because I made a man completely well on the Sabbath? Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgments. You got to realize your life, as you're endeavoring to walk out the dream, you're constantly being looked at with men and through their insecurities a lot of times and their agendas, and they're going to take the facts and the information of your situation, they're going to pronounce judgment. You should have done this, you shouldn't have done that, but you got to understand they're judging many times according to appearance. And the wisdom that's from above is without partiality and without hypocrisy. The wisdom that's not from above is full of partiality and hypocrisy. Because there's a lot of personal things that you're defending and agendas and things that you're doing. So you sift through information and you massage it just right to make your case. This person should have done this. They shouldn't have done that. Well, you got to understand man's judgment is very small and tiny, minute. It's life's a vapor. You got to realize that as people are judging you, God is looking at you. And don't be swayed by their judgments. Don't be swayed by what people are saying or doing or thinking or how they're writing it up, how they're deploying, how they're projecting. Doesn't mean a thing. It doesn't mean a thing. There is one, praise God, whose judgment does matter. There is no creature hidden from his sight, God, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Living says he knows about everyone everywhere. Everything about us is bare and wide open to the all-seeing eyes of our living God. Nothing can be hidden from him to whom we must explain all that we've done. In other words, man looks at that outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And God judges according to what he sees in the heart. You know the old expression, one man's junk is another man's treasure. Well, one man's judgment junk is God's courageous or treasure judgment. And you got to, that's why you can't be distracted, by the way. People are looking at you and judge. God is looking at you. And when you know you're doing what God has put in your heart to do, you know, this thing's going to wrap up. All the history, all the junk, it's just tiny, it's minute, gone. But his judgment here is eternal. Praise God. You talk about vindication. You know, there are people who were made to appear wrong down here that are going to be vindicated in heaven. Praise God. And it's glorious. Hallelujah. And that's the judgment that's eternal. And Joseph was able to see past all that. Could you imagine all the gossip and the finger pointing and things that were going on in his life? Potiphar's wife, oh, tisk, tisk, shame. A lot of people that really didn't know the truth, you know, and they just fully convinced. But Joseph could see past the false reports and the false, and manage it, and praise God, he stayed with it, stayed focused, and he did. He kept his heart right. I mean, this guy forgot about him. You know, at this point, you could really come to some conclusions about those dreams God put in your heart. Somebody wrote this up. It's called, it's like, a, you know, people, the Ten Commandments. But it's called the paradoxical commandments. All right, I love this because I think it captures the heart of a dreamer and the tenacity of the heart of the dreamer. Here are the Ten Commandments. People are illogical, unreasonable, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Do good anyway. If you're successful, you will win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Honesty and frankness make you vulnerable. Be honest and frank anyway. The biggest men and women with the biggest ideas can be shot down by the smallest men and women with the smallest minds. Think big anyway. Amen. People favor underdogs but follow only the top dogs. Fight for a few underdogs anyway. What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. People really need help, but may attack you if you help them. Help people anyway. Give the world the best you have, and you'll get kicked in the teeth. Give the world the best you have anyway. This is the way a dreamer thinks. This is the way Joseph thought. It's a choice. Now, I don't know all the behind the scenes. I'm sure Joseph certainly had temptations. But at the end of the day, he went back to that place. At the end of the day, he went back to that devotion time with the Lord and said, "You're the Lord God. Praise God. I'm going to walk with you. I may not understand everything, but you put this dream in my heart, and I'm going to see it through." And that's really what we're getting through to. Finally, the final point is simply fulfill the dream. Fulfill the dream. And here we see again in the life of Joseph a beautiful fulfillment of that dream. Joseph was in prison for 2 years, and then Pharaoh has a dream. You know, 2 years to us seems a long time, but in God's time, that's pretty quick. A lot more faithfulness in Joseph. You know what? What's happening with Joseph? Joseph is about to get a huge promotion here. But there in 13 years, Joseph has a really pure heart before God. In other words, there's a purifying effect that's going on behind the scenes as Joseph is forgiving and keeping his heart right. In fact, all these things that he's going through are preparing his heart for ultimately what God has prepared him for. There are some things, because once you get at the top, you got a lot of temptations, a lot of things, and Joseph can really say, kind of like David, "I fought the lion, I fought the bear. I've been down that path before. God, you're God. Yes, I trust you. Here's his day, here's his hour coming." Finally, the butler, remembers the dream that Joseph interpreted. And so it came. Joseph successfully interprets the dream of Pharaoh. And this is what Pharaoh says to him. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand, put it on Joseph's hand, and he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried out before him, bow the knee. So he sent him over all the land of Egypt. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. You know, the Bible says, God will exalt you in due season. You know, if somebody got this kind of exaltation and it wasn't in due season, it could be pretty corrupting. You know, I just read an article the other day. 70% of people who win the lottery end up broke. Wow, I didn't realize that. 70%. I mean, they end up having less than what they had before they won the lottery. Wow. When God exalts you in due season, you're ready, you're anointed, you're equipped, you have eyes, and all the junk isn't, you know, you still have temptations, you're still human, but you've been down that path, you've fought the line, you fought the bear, you're ready for it. To rule, to have influence with godliness. And here we see a man who's exalted in due season. 13 years of preparation, and he's ready to see those dreams fulfilled. There's a famine, his brothers have to come to Egypt. Of course, they don't know Joseph is second to the Pharaoh, the prime minister. And so they come down, they bow down before him, wanting his mercy to give them food. And as the story goes, he goes through a few different little scenarios with them, really to bring their hearts and to prepare their hearts for what he's about to do right here. It says, then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, make everyone go from me. So no one stood around him, while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near. Then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves, because you sold me there. For God has sent me before you to preserve life. Wow. There is a man whose heart was right. There is a man whose season was in place to be exalted. You see the love coming from his heart here. You know, we know that scripture, how God turns all things, makes all things work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And Joseph shows mercy and kindness. And the end of the story, they get the father, all the brothers. They have the best of Egypt, the best places. But here we see it happened as a man's dream was fulfilled. He saw it fulfilled. And as we look at it, I just kind of bringing it back around to us and just our covenant with God. The Bible says, this is a quote from the Apostle Peter as he's preaching on the day of Pentecost. Taking it from Joseph, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. That's my flesh and your flesh. All flesh, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall see dreams. On my men servants, on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. This is the day we're living in. God has poured out his spirit on us. He has poured out his spirit on our flesh, and he's given us amazing things to do. The good works he's ordained you to walk in, his spirit is in you, working to will and to do of what those good things are. You know, there was a group of ministers who were getting ready to have a revival service. They were all excited, and they got amongst themselves, and they said, we need to get a revivalist in here who's going to really wake up our community. And as they got together, the name that seemed to come out from among them was D.L. Moody at the time, you know, in that era, in that time. D.L. Moody, let's get D.L. Moody. Praise God, we need to get D.L. Moody. That's just the one that we've got in our hearts. All of a sudden, one of the ministers, like, a little disgruntled, I guess he maybe wanted somebody else, I don't know, but he kind of spoke up and said, why are you so adamant about D.L. Moody? Do you think D.L. Moody has a monopoly on God? And one of the pastors very respectfully, you know, spoke up and said, well, when you look at his life, his ministry, the fruit, the results of what he's doing for God and living for God, it's not that D.L. Moody has a monopoly on God, but it seems that God has a monopoly on D.L. Moody. When you begin to see dreams fulfilled, I love when I hear the thing, Lord, that's what I want. I want you to have a monopoly on me. And that's kind of the process of those 13 years. God is buying up properties in your heart. He's playing Monopoly with you. And you got to sell some of those properties so he can build hotels on your heart. Once he gets that monopoly on your heart, oh, man, it's amazing how quickly things can happen. Monopoly. Fulfilling the dream. Letting God begin to work in you. And you know what it is in your own heart and mind. You know those things that you're laying aside, the weights and the sins that so easily beset you. Why? Because they're affecting the race. And you begin to see it. It's not about the weight and sin. There's a race that's set before me. There are dreams. I don't have time to mess with this. I got a dream. Martin Luther King. I have a dream. Beautiful dream. Racial equality. Praise God. A dream that was in the heart of a man. There are dreams that he puts into our hearts, but there are some things that we're going to walk through as we go through all of our, and we all have them. We all have good works he's ordained us to walk in. We're all dreamers in that sense. And there are things, processes that we're going to go through as we fulfill that dream. So, Joseph the dreamer, he saw the dream. Praise God. He saw something. What do you see? You might see something. You might see a form. There may be a drop cloth on it. Lord, remove the drop cloth. Reveal to me. Begin to show me. There may be something, things that you've already seen that one of those, you know, and you got sold into slavery, okay? And you kind of put that dream on the shelf. It's time to go back and say, okay, Lord, here we go. That dream is coming off the shelf. Praise God. I trust you. I'm going to walk with you. I might not see the big picture here, but I've seen it clearly, and I'm picking up where I left off, and I'm going to do what you told me to do. Maybe you don't have anything. You just know that there's some desires in you. Man, just pray. Lord, just pray the hope of my calling. You're just going to begin to bring it into focus as you're working in me to will and to do. Show me something. And then there's going to be the holding on to that dream. Again, you're going to go through stuff. Jesus promised, not a refrigerator promise typically, but Jesus promised that in this life you will have tribulation. You will have people coming against the dreams God has put in your heart. It's going to happen. You're on a demon-infested planet, you know, with your own fallen flesh and 7 billion of other people's fallen flesh, all right? This is the environment we live in. Stuff is going to happen. There is a kingdom of darkness, but we can hold on to it in the midst of it. We can, that whatever it is that we see causes us to hold on. Praise God. Joseph kept his heart free from the bitterness. He didn't get under the false accusations of the enemy. He kept his heart right. He kept trusting in God. He maintained a favor. Praise God, that caused that dream to continue to come to pass. And finally, there's the fulfillment of that dream where he saw it happen. And then all of a sudden, what you see is happening. What you saw is happening. And not only is it happening, but you're ready for it. You're not just fantasizing about being really mature. You know, there's false humility. Politicians, you know, take the picture. I'm pounding the nail into the housing project. I care about people. I care. You know, you got these photo ops of humility. God told me this once. He said, humility is not your ability to look humble. All right? Humility is a real work that takes place in your heart when you begin to choose the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, and you humble it. You're playing Monopoly, and you're laying down those pieces of your life and saying, oh, God, you own me here, and you own me here. And you get to that place where you're ready to fulfill the dream, and you're there, and you see it. And not only are you there, but you're ready for it. Praise God. There's a fulfillment of it. I do want to close with a song here. This is a song called Kiss of Heaven by Darlene Check. It just simply goes, I'm walking a new walk. I'll never be the same again. Dance in a new dance. Your Holy Spirit reign. Your breath of life has overwhelmed me and set my spirit free. I'm living a new life underneath your morning star, running a new race in the shadow of your love. Your love is immeasurable, too deep to comprehend. My Jesus, dream maker, my Jesus, life giver, I'm living under the kiss of heaven, and I'll never, ever be the same again. I'm singing a new song in the presence of my King, giving you my heart. That is all I can bring. You lit a fire inside of me that I thought would never burn again. My Jesus, dream maker, my Jesus, life giver, I'm living under the kiss of heaven, and I'll never be the same again. I thank you, my Father, for all you've done and all you're going to do. My path's behind me, you before me, I press on for more. I'm living under the kiss of heaven, and I'll never be the same again. My Jesus dream maker, my Jesus life giver, I'm living under the kiss of heaven, I'll never be the same again. My Jesus, I surrender. My Jesus, yours forever. I'm living under the kiss of heaven, and I'll never, ever be the same again. I see that as a picture of Joseph. Joseph was living under the kiss of heaven. What is it? What is it about people, these great people? They just simply hold on to God in the midst of the pit, in the midst of slavery, in the midst of jail, in the midst of being forgotten, of being misrepresented. They just say, okay, Lord, here we go. I don't know what's going to happen next, but I know how this is going to end. Praise God. And I don't even mean necessarily end on earth, how this is going to end at the judgment seat of Christ. There are not everything is vindicated here in this lifetime. There are things vindicated after this lifetime. And you live your life not with public opinion down here. You live your lifetime with looking at things and not seeing. Seeing, praise God, the ultimate judgment of God. Praise you, Father. Lord, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that Joseph was a dreamer and that you put those dreams in his heart and that you showed us, oh, how to walk through a dream. Oh, Father, that it is something, it's not a drive-through dream, but it is a process. Lord, we thank you for instantaneous miracles, but we thank you for miracles of process, things that take time. Abraham believed God, but it was a process before he became fully persuaded, and you blessed him and honored him. With Joseph, there was a process. He kept his heart right with those dreams you put in him. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for those dreams you've placed in my heart. Open the eyes of my understanding that I may know the hope of your calling, those good works, those dreams you've ordained me to walk in. As I see it, Lord, I'll hold on to it in the face of false accusation, in the face of betrayal, in the face of false judgment. I look at things not seen. I see you, Jesus. I see your favor upon me. It keeps my heart right toward you. It keeps your favor in my life. And I will walk it through step by step until I fulfill what I see. Lord Jesus, today is my day. I'm calling on your name today. I believe you died on that cross for my sins. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe. You love me. I receive that love now. God raised you from the dead. And I will be raised together with you. I am your child, and I live for you now, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.